David said there in verse 3 of Psalms chapter 40, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." God bless me today as I share these thoughts on inspiration. Bless the reading of your word, the interpretation of your word. Inasmuch as when we leave this place today, like the psalmist right here, let each of us be able to say that we have a new song in our mouth, a new reason to live, to praise you, and let others see and hear that in us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are certain words that just seem to automatically go together. Like grace. We want to put amazing grace to that. We talk about the city. We want to make it the holy city. Speak of God. We want it to be the eternal God. Certain words we just connect together automatically. John the Revelator. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Biscuits and... That got your attention. Wouldn't it be wonderful here if some Sabbath we had biscuits and gravy for breakfast? That's just a little hint. That's all we need to say. Certain words we connect without failure. They just seem to be born to go together. I think of forgiveness and cleansing and healing. When we study the mark of the beast, we have the mark, disobedience. We have Satan. But if we study the positive side of that with the seal of God, we have Jesus, we have the law, then we have the Sabbath. I'm telling you, certain ideas are just linked together. They're difficult to separate. Inspiration is also connected. Inspiration is a wonderful thing. Inspiration means God breathed, or coming out of God. I think inspiration is connected to motivation. Motivation is connected to activation. And in a very biblical sense today, if we are spiritually inspired, we influence everybody around us. And even in an unscriptural sense, if we're living for Satan, we also influence everybody around us. But inspiration is a good thing. It's not bad. It's a wonderful thing to be inspired. You could probably quote the most famous biblical passage that uses the word inspired. There's only two in all the Bible there. It comes out of Timothy, and it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired. All Scripture. Inspiration is a friend of God. It's not an enemy. If you can get some inspiration, even a little dose of it, it will build you up. It will strengthen your inner being. Inspiration promotes health and happiness and joy and trust. To be in the presence of inspiration means to be in the presence and company of the great Creator God, the great I Am. Inspiration teaches while Satan tears down. Inspiration corrects. It leads in ways of righteousness and right doing. Inspiration is an enemy of Satan. Inspiration is that passion, it's that event, it's that process that enables the seeds of conviction to grow in a man's heart and mind when he really needs change. You need a good dose of inspiration. You need to be around people who are inspired, people who really care about the values of life. It will rub off on you. Inspiration is a friend of God. It's an enemy of Satan. A man comes under conviction that he needs to order his life in harmony with the life of Jesus. It could be a lot of things. It could include anger management. It could include what we think about women. By the way, you should have been in our Sabbath school class today. It got all stirred up, didn't it, Rusty? I can't even talk about it here, this way. We could in the smaller group. But inspiration does to a person what nothing else ever invented can do. Inspiration fills that space up in the mind that tells a person that they're doing wrong and they need to stop it. Whatever that wrong is. Inspiration is also gifted, blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit that tells a person what's right. And if you are doing what's right, you need to keep on doing it. Don't stop doing it. Don't let go. Don't pull back right now. Be more for God than you've ever been. Give more to God than you've ever given. Listen more to God than you have ever listened. Talk more to Him than you've ever spoken with Him. Be inspired. Let it grab you. And in so doing, this God breathing, this coming out of God, it changes you. Now, if you don't have any inspiration, you have the opposite. You have stagnation. I was so embarrassed. We were having an afternoon baptism and I went out to the lake ahead of everybody else. There was so much pollution floating on top of the water. I actually took my hand and my body and used it like a big wand, and I tried to move all of that stuff floating on top of the water out of the way so that we could have the baptism. Inspiration does that in a person's life. It can start with one idea and lead to many others. But the intention of inspiration is for you to be totally clean before God. Let me give you a challenge. Can you discover any religion that asks anything other than a full commitment from its believers? Christianity does. Regardless of your denomination, Christianity demands that you be totally given to God. Just try to find a religion that teaches a lack of commitment or a lack of inspiration. I would like to know what that is. So if you can find some inspiration today, that's the one thing that can change your life. A lot of family crises could be avoided if we could find some inspiration. You know what most people that's been married a few years think? And I believe I could prove this, Gail. Most people who've been married a number of years think it's never going to change. Have you ever thought that? It is. Change would be the better every day. But sometimes we just zip it up. We don't even want to talk about what could be improved upon because in our mind we think it's the men think she's never going to change. And the men have had so much influence over the women are now thinking the same thing. He's never going to change. But if you could get a little bit of inspiration, somehow find it, things could change. You most likely would find the first change occurring in your own self. I wanted to bring a toolbox today. A big toolbox. And pull out some of the tools that we have to work with today. I have a battery-operated skill saw, drill, light, reciprocating saw. I've got the drills you can plug in, saws you can plug in. I've got chainsaw. If we get too far away, I've even got a generator, Randall. I can run the generator. I bought a set of Craftsman wrenches for half price. That's good stewardship, by the way. Pardon? Yeah. Oh. It does. It takes everything to put in a dishwasher. But if God had a toolbox and you could look in the toolbox, I promise you one of the big tools, the universal tools that works across every continent would be inspiration. To be inspired, to be motivated and activated by something. That's what God wants for us. Just finished reading the book of Acts. I'm trying to catch my brother. He's reading through the Bible, and I'm in the New Testament. Started with the New, and I'm going to make my way to the Old. He's in Leviticus, and I just finished Acts. But I'm going to catch you, Ed. Just give me another month or two. Can you believe some of the things of inspiration that are recorded in the book of Acts? Turn there with me, if you will, very, very quickly. Acts chapter 22. Very simply stated today, we are inspired by what we see and what we hear. Now, it is true. You can have a real good program at church, and when you can go out, you say, "That was so good. I'm so glad I came today." Inspired by what you see and what you hear. Three times Scripture records the story of Paul. And when Scripture repeats something, Scripture repeats it because it's important to God and He wishes for us to remember it. I doubt if you had the same type of conversion experience as Saul. But in Acts chapter 22, he tells a story. In verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was about to come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me. If you want to talk about the supernatural, you want to talk about inspiration, this is it here. This great light shone around me, he says, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I answered and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecutest." Now, would you get inspired if you had a direct encounter with God like that? If down here by Arlo's Bar, you were to see a huge halo coming down, you would pull your car over to the side and you would just stop and look at it. You would recognize its supernatural ability right then and there. And if out of that halo and the smoke and the fog and the brilliance of light, you were to hear voices. And if it were the right kind of voices. Now, if you're coming out of Arlo's and you hear this, it might be another reason. But inspiration grabs you in a way that nothing else can grab you. Some of us have been Christians so long, we're not really surprised that God's working anymore. We've seen God give people financial blessings. We've seen God bring healing and restoration. We've seen God bring homes back together again. We've seen the miracle of this building that we're sitting in today. You heard a miracle a while ago about our radio station here. So we don't really get as inspired and moved and fired up and activated as easily as somebody else. You've seen it all, or so you think. As a little boy said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until God really begins to move with inspiration. So the story of Paul right here is a fantastic story. He had this direct encounter with God Himself, with Christ. Verse 10, he said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." When Saul became Paul and he became converted, he was a mighty instrument for inspiration. Notice with me verse 15 of Acts chapter 22. This is a prophecy for him, but I believe it's a good prophecy for you. "For you shall be his witnesses unto all men of what? Of what you have seen and what you have heard." I'm telling you, the human nature just reaches out and grabs on to these things that we see and what we hear. That's one way the Holy Spirit is enabled to work through us, by inspiration. Turn with me back to Acts, the 4th chapter. Acts chapter 4, and it says this: Peter and John are on trial for their faith. And in verse 20, he says, "You cannot shut us up. We're going to preach it. We are going to tell the story. We are going to live the message." Verse 20. Get some inspiration here. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You can whip us. You can put us in jail. You can drag us through the streets of Jerusalem, but we will not be quiet. What made the difference? Inspiration. Read the latest edition of the Adventist World Review. There's some good inspiration in there. Pardon? Where do you get? I'll give you mine. You know, Lucille, you deserve this magazine. And I know a way that you can get it delivered to your door once a month for free. We're going to talk about that. All of those who have a church home here get that magazine. Just a little hint. All through Scripture, it's repeated. Inspiration comes through that methodology of being in the presence of God, of being around people of God, and inspiration rubs off. It's catching. And inspiration always motivates people to do something, and that's the activation part. If you notice verse 13, a great compliment is given there to the disciples Peter and John. And I want it said of you. I want your neighbors to say this about you. I want the people in the workplace to say this about you. I want your relatives to say this about you. I want your children to say this about you. It says in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been to a special place." Where was it? They've been with Jesus. It's who they were with that made all the difference of inspiration and motivation and activation. Now, if you spend your time with the devil's crowd, guess what you're going to be doing? It won't be things inspired of God. It may be inspired, but it will be coming from the other source. They've been with Jesus and other people recognized it. So we are inspired like they are. We see things happening, and if we can wake up and not be so lulled asleep by the commonality of God working miracles today, we can be just a little more inspired by what we see and what we hear. I sat all Tuesday afternoon in a meeting. The staff here from Cohutta Springs, you know what meeting I'm speaking of. This dear elder put one stat after another up on the big screen. It's focused in three different ways as you sit there in the Magnolia Room. Up front and on either side, they have the projectors going. And hour after hour, this dear brother gave the statistics of what's happening today within the Adventist church. I wanted to stand up and say it. I didn't. I wanted to stand up and say, "Elder Celine, it's not happening in my church. That's somewhere else. It's not here. Evangelism has worked here. You go invite people to come to church here, and they come. We're not dead and dying. We're not ready to roll over like a little dog and say, 'Okay, scratch my stomach and then get rid of me.' We're not leaving. We are inspiring one another by what we see and hear, and by being in the company of those who are inspired, it's catching to us. I don't doubt it a bit that God has designed for you a unique ministry here in 2010, and if you will just catch it, it will pull you up from wherever you have been. It always brings people up. And the devil always tries to tear people down. What is it today that can inspire you? You are inspired by what you hear, by what you see, and you are inspired by people around you. Acts chapter 3. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Had his little cup out there, shaking it. He's crippled. They take him down there every day to the entrance to the church, and he begs people for money. And here comes Peter and John. I kind of know how they feel. You know, preachers don't have a lot of money. At least some of us don't, but our rewards are out of this world. You didn't get that, did you? Okay. Peter and John said, I don't have silver and gold. I don't have any money to give you. But I want to give you something better. Verse 6. I want to give you what I do have. What did he have? He was probably wearing a robe. I don't think they had invented blue jeans yet. Probably wearing sandals. It would have been common to have had a little money bag, either in the inner folds of the robe or maybe even outside on a leather strap some way. But the Bible says here, they didn't have any money. He says, I don't have silver, I don't have gold to give you, but I will give you something else. And he just blurts it out, as the book of Acts records it here. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Inspiration? Yes. What about the people standing all around on the fringes, not yet fully committed to God, but just thinking? I'm telling you, inspiration happens when we see things occurring miraculously all around us. Verse 9, as the man began to leap up and walk, and he went into the church praising God, verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew who it was, verse 10 tells us. Inspiration? Yes. Look across the page at chapter 4 and verse 4. If you don't notice this carefully, you miss it. Verse 4 is relevant because it includes those who had witnessed that miracle I just described to you. It says that many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Just by being in the presence of miracles taking place, it helps to influence conversion. Now notice with me Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. You know the story of the early church. They had all things in common. They were going places. They had inspiration. Verse 12 of Acts 5 says, and by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were worked among the people. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Inspiration. It comes by what we see, what we hear, and it's also catching from those people around us. I copied this out of one of my study Bibles. I changed it just a little bit. There's something that makes Christianity appealing and attractive. Do you know what it is? If you could go to all the meetings that I go to, you would be convinced there is no shortage of programs in the Adventist church. There is no shortage of good presenters in any area that you can think of. If it's the literature work, if it's health ministry, if it's youth work, if it's audiovisual media technology for the modernist, whatever, we have the experts. There's no shortage of amazing programs and powerful preachers, no shortage of beautiful churches, although you could read there how that they're building churches in one day. With metal, it's already been formed, and they ship it in and just bolt it together, places of worship. I go back to the early church. What did they have that is missing here? Thousands of people seemed to be coming out of Judaism, and they would follow Paul and Peter and John, the disciples, and the message spread like wildfire. He would just go to a community and begin to teach and preach and raise up a church. That's how we come to have most of those Pauline epistles. Letters to certain churches that were started in such a short time. There was something attractive and magnetic about the early church. One reason people were drawn to the early church was of what they saw and heard and witnessed with the people that had been with Jesus. That's what it was. So what are we going to do now? We've looked at the 3 points of my sermon. I've repeated it several times of how inspiration is in the toolbox of God. How that God uses that tool to shape us and mold us into a beautiful person fit for the kingdom. My task now is to try to figure out a way to make inspiration available to everyone here, even to the smallest child that we have. No. I don't have two personalities. I'm just talking to myself here. No, Stover, that's not what you need to do. You can't do that. I can't multiply and duplicate inspiration. But I know who does. I know who wants to send it. I can point you in the right direction. I can put a song in your heart today that you can take home with you. I can tell you that someday we're leaving this earth. I can at least tell you that right now you are soldiers in God's army, that you're marching toward a city called Zion. Beautiful city of God. And at last when we get there, we don't even want to remember the clouds and the shadows that were over us here in this life. I got inspired listening to my good friend Carlton Byrd preaching. I didn't know it. He and his wife were there at pastor's meetings last week. He was one of our preachers. And he got up front in one of his sermons and he told the story. He was traveling to a reunion in Huntsville, Alabama, driving a borrowed SUV, traveling down the interstate. And suddenly the SUV begins to turn over and over. And he finds himself in the medium between the northbound and southbound lanes of traffic. They had a 4.5-month-old baby girl. Some of you heard this story. I sat there on the edge of my seat because my little grandson's, you know, just about that age. Austin. I did this transference where I began to think of that baby and this baby. You know, it happens psychologically sometimes. It was such a horrific accident. What happened? The axle broke, and it, somehow it began to flip the SUV over and over, and they were there in the median of the interstate, and all the rescue personnel came, and they sent the baby by life force to another hospital and took Carlton and his wife to another one. They got bandaged up, and they went to where the baby was. And the doctor says, baby's seriously ill. She's only living because of the machinery that's here keeping her alive. His wife's father is an Adventist pastor. That ought to give him a little bit of credence before God. And Carlton's father is an Adventist pastor. They should have twice as much as anybody else. So they prayed, God, please give us back our baby. Second day, third day, fourth day. The fifth day, the physician says, we really need to unplug the equipment. I wish you could have heard the story. Carlton begs for just a few minutes. Doc, give us till 12 o'clock. Just 12 o'clock, that's all I ask. And with all the faith that he had, he says, I just knew that our baby girl was going to coo. She was going to smile. She was going to cough. She was going to do something to come back to life. But it didn't happen. It did not happen. Can you imagine singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow? At a moment in time like that? Some of you have lost a baby. We've all lost loved ones. We've all have stories we can tell of great loss in our life. We need some inspiration. We need our spirits buoyed up. And we need to stay up as much as we can so that the people around us who see and hear and witness what we do can also be inspired. In the early church, there was a generosity, there was a sincerity, there was a unity there. And if we get inspiration, we can have the very same thing today.